Good evening, brother. Tonight I wanted to share with you a lesson on the Lord's army, which is us, the church. I believe this is important to us Christians in the modern day, as it seems like left and right, everywhere we go, the forces of darkness seem to impose on the church itself. This can be disheartening for Christians, as the world and its influences can pull us down. But just like the hymn, "The battle belongs to the Lord," we must remember that the battle does indeed belong to the Lord. So how do we combat against Satan and his worldly influences? We have three blessings from the Lord himself that help us through this conflict, the first one being our brethren. In any army, just like the Lord's, there is strength in numbers, and one of the safest places that we can be is with our brethren. Historically, this is true, as the strongest infantry formation at the time that the gospel was spread was something called the phalanx. Basically, what happened is you would have a bunch of soldiers, they would be neck-to-neck, shield-to-shield, and they would rely on each other to save each other as well, and it proved successful as well. And that's just like us with our brethren today. This can be seen in Scripture, as in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. This is especially important because Satan, our adversary, one of his best tactics is to try to divide and conquer. We see this again historically with the Israelites. The Israelites were tempted to be divided into a northern and southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is the first to fall whenever they're tempted with idolatry. And then much, much later on, the southern kingdom after the Romans will also be destroyed. This should not surprise us that Satan tries the same tactic with the saints today. Again, and we can see this in the account from the book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. The book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who causes dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Therefore, the only way that we can stay strong against Satan is to be in Christ's fold." The second reason as to why brethren are important is when the powers of darkness fall upon the sides of our army, we need our brethren to help us fight against Satan. As we know, Satan is described as a roaring lion, and I don't know about you, but I wouldn't feel comfortable facing a lion by myself, so you can see where we need our brethren there as well. This is why our brothers and sisters Christ is so important, as it is one of our true defenses against him. As Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 16, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed." This is, of course, not to embarrass our brethren, but to save our brethren, as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. As for Satan, it is harder for him to try to tempt someone if there is multiple brethren beating him back. We see that again historically multiple times. You don't see one soldier running into the ranks of about 15 men. They always turn tail and run. It's the same with Satan himself as well. The third reason why we need our brethren is to help us guard our souls against Satan. Anytime that Satan's power overwhelms us, we should be comfortable to come to our brethren as well for help. As Christians, we should seek out friends in the church when problems arise for us spiritually, can once again show us the light of Jesus. I was told by a very smart man one time, while he was trying to explain this concept to me, that when we share with our brethren our spiritual struggles and also seek repentance, that is Jesus' light cleansing us from the sin and helping us to continue on. This is a blessing in itself, because although darkness can be overwhelming, it can be pierced by light and it can also be destroyed by light. So that's why we should always seek our brethren. As an example can be found in the gospel too, as seen in Philemon chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Brethren can refresh our hearts. Just to put you into context, this is, of course, when the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he is relying on Onesimus, and the scripture reads, "Whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. With all that said, we do have a second blessing in the church that the Lord gives us, which is, of course, our spiritual leadership, the elders themselves. Historically, armies have always had people, officers, standing in the line, trying to keep the men disciplined and carrying out the orders of their superiors, whether that be a king or a president or any legislative assembly as well. And it is essential in keeping our army disciplined, too. Our elders are charged with this by none other than God, as Scripture reads in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." This is a great responsibility for anyone who has the title of elder and has that honor. Elders direct us in spiritual combat in a multitude of ways, such as telling us when we need to improve our work, as well as bestow spiritual wisdom on their fellow Christians, and most importantly, watch out for the forces of spiritual darkness within our midst. As Brother Howe mentioned a week earlier, elders selflessly lay down their lives for the church, protecting us spiritually. Just like our King, Jesus Christ, the elders also tend the flock in order to make sure that those that are sick spiritually are taken care of. This is crucial in maintaining the Lord's army when the powers of darkness hit our flanks at full force. Struggling Christians are one of the most important things that the elders have to watch out for. The old saying that a chain is only as good as its weakest link pertains to any army, including ours. With this said, the elders are in charge of correcting Christians too, when they are in sin, as seen again in Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Lastly, and most importantly, it is one of our elders' jobs, as well as many Christians, to train other Christians for the spiritual conflict ahead. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, we can see how the elders are included with this command. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance." With the elders being our overseers, we can trust that they will faithfully adhere to the scriptures revealed to us, as well as train us so that Christ's army will prevail against any adversity that Satan throws at us. The last blessing that the Lord's army has is its greatest one, Jesus Christ. With many armies historically serving the purpose of a leader, again, whether it be a king, whether it be a president, or a legislative assembly, our army is no different. While we serve our King in this spiritual conflict, he promises to never abandon our sides through protecting us, healing us, and leading us to spiritual victories, which is found only in Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 20 states, "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The first part of this blessing that I would like to discuss is how Christ protects his army, which is us. In Scripture, we are given countless examples of Christ's protection and love towards us, but we will reference 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Although we may be one of the smallest armies historically, it does not stop us from being the strongest army around. Almost like when the Israelites faced off against the largest army of the known world, the Ethiopians, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, they still took the field, and that was because of the Lord. We are similar, as although we are as small, Christ strengthens us, each and every single one of us, so that our army, through Christ, will prevail against the world. And even when Satan tricks us into thinking that we are carried off as his captive, and that we are lost from Christ, we must remember the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 through 14. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, that one of these little ones perish. The second part of this blessing is that when we are in Christ's army, we do not have to fear against permanent wounds by the adversary, which is the devil. Being in an army means that at times of prolonged battle or war, we might get injured. This is even true of our army. When the powers of darkness come in like a flood, as seen in the scripture, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Although we are wholly undeserving of this great blessing that God gave us, we would be dying by the wayside without it. How Christ heals his army is seen in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Christ, through his willingness and his sacrifice, becomes our high priest and cleanses us from all sin. The third and final part of this blessing of having Christ as our protector is that he will not only cleanse us from all of our sins and deliver us to victory, but that he will march his army, us Christians, to Mount Zion to spend an eternity with our Heavenly Father and King. Christ, our King, will guide us throughout our life. We can trust that he will bring us to Mount Zion in victory, as our God has made him the doorway to heaven, as Jesus even states in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the hope that we have as Christians, that this war on earth will one day be over. And although at times the powers of darkness seem to slam against the church, we have hope that one day we will no longer have to fight, but live in peace and love with both our King and Heavenly Father. I hope this lesson tonight has been a great refresher to those that feel as though the powers of darkness are overwhelming them. At this moment, we are going to extend the Lord's invitation. If you aren't a Christian, but you know that you need to join Christ's army, or if you have been fighting in Christ's army and have been wounded by Satan, please come forward as we stand and sing.